Hey, welcome to another episode of the Lemonade Podcast. This is Stephanie, and this is a special episode. This episode is actually a Thor Ragnarok review slash reaction, whatever you want to call it, but just know that it is full of spoilers. So if you have not listened to, you would be listening, I hope, but if you have not seen Thor Ragnarok, go ahead and just stop this episode, come back to it later after you've seen it, or if you're one of those people who can listen to, you know, reviews or read reviews and still go see it when they're full of spoilers and still go see the movie and enjoy it, then I encourage you to continue listening. So without further ado, this is how I felt about Thor Ragnarok. So this movie's tagline should have been "Tag Your Kink," because it is full of them. The movie actually opens with Thor tied up in chains, sitting in a cage, and what sounds like him talking to the audience, just pretty much giving a, I guess their version of a scroll that would go, like in the Star Wars movies or whatever, they'll just let you know what's happened so far, what's going on. So Thor, last time we seen him was in that terrible movie that I don't like, which is Age of Ultron, the Avengers movie, I think that's the last time we've seen him. I don't know. That was the last time we've seen him. And he, you know, zoomed off somewhere and went looking for the Infinity Stones, which he calls Colorful Stones. So obviously nobody can really find these. By this time, Thanos probably has a good majority of them. I don't know. And also, I think that's it. I think that's all we talk about. So, and I guess he brings up those dreams he was having, those weird dreams he was having. So he drops from the cage, something that you might be familiar with because it showed that a billion times in the commercial. And we are treated to a very comical conversation between him and Sator, who is, I guess, a monster that his dad put away, who Thor believes is to be the cause of Ragnarok, which is an event that would pretty much destroy Asgard. So Thor's whole thing is he is trying to prevent Ragnarok. So without further ado, he calls his mighty hammer and, you know, fighting starts happening. And it was pretty cool. I mean, it's Thor. So he, of course, defeats him and he is pretty much calling for Heimdall to open the Bifrost so that he can leave. And no, because he's not there. Carl Urban, who I forgot was even in this movie, is there instead. And I don't remember his character's name. I just know that Hela was calling him Executioner. So I'm just going to call him an Executioner because that's what's going to happen anyway. So he's actually there in Heimdall's place and is on the job, not doing his job, basically. He's entertaining guests, two women, and just a bunch of comedy. He has two guns that I guess he got from Texas, or Tay-Ass, as he says, and he calls Dez and Troy, and together they destroy, which I unfortunately chuckled at because it was kind of funny. And he's not paying attention. So Thor is like trying to get away from this magical dragon. The dragon actually looked like the dragon from Shrek to me. I just imagined her with lipstick. I don't know if it was him or her, but I just imagined some MAC lipstick on that dragon. So finally, one of the girls hears that, you know, someone is like calling for his help, and he gets the door open and Thor comes flying through, and then half of the dragon comes flying through, just the heck. So it's a mess. So he's like, well, hold on. Carl Urban's character is like, hold on. I'm supposed to announce that you're here. But Thor flies off. And of course, cause you know, they're in Asgard, Carl Urban's character has to run. We are treated to, a play that is going on, and Odin just sitting and lounging and eating grapes. And I was like, wait, but wasn't Odin dead or not there? So I was sitting there trying to rack my brain, because I'm like, I don't really recall what happened the last time we seen y'all, but okay. So there's a play going on, and I remember reading something about there being a surprise actor in this movie or something like that. So I'm like, oh, okay. So spoiler alert, all this has been a spoiler, I'm sorry. Matt Damon's there playing Loki in this play that is going on. It's like, okay, whatever. Because who's here for Matt Damon? Because I'm not. Once upon a time ago, I was, but these days I could give two shits. So Matt Damon is there playing Loki, and there's this really extra dramedy going on between Loki and Thor as a reenactment of whatever happened the last time we seen them. And again, I don't recall. So, and I think it was like Loki died or was supposed to be. I don't remember, y'all. It's been so many damn. I don't remember. And I only watch Marvel movies, if at all, just the one time. And sometimes halfway through a second time around. I don't watch them more than once. So, Thor is putting two and two together, and he, you know, was like, pretty sure that's Loki. So he threatens Loki with his hammer to come back and it will smash his head. And then Loki appears and stops trying to disguise himself as Odin. So we end up on Earth because that's where Loki put Odin. And we end up in front of an old folks home that's getting torn down. And Loki is dressed, as Thor puts it, as a witch. He looked kind of snazzy and is all black. So I was, you know, I never really saw it for Tom Hiddleston, but maybe I'm starting to see the appeal and why some people do. So I'll just say that he did look nice in that suit, though. And yeah, all of a sudden Loki disappears, and I was like, oh wait, that's right. Doctor Strange is supposed to be in this movie, right? Because I just totally banished him from my mind. Now that I don't like Steven, I just didn't care for that movie. And yeah, so he takes Loki and leaves Thor with his calling card, which I don't know why he just didn't take both of them, but he takes Loki. Thor winds up at Doctor Strange's place, and they, you know, Doctor Strange is like, what are y'all doing here? What is Loki doing here? And a long ass exposition that basically feels like the night crawlers just bam, bam, bam. Like that sound effect could be placed in the movie, because Steven keeps switching sceneries or whatever as they're discussing and they're talking. And I just kept thinking Nightcrawler, that BAMF, just BAMF, if this was a comic. So basically get to the bottom of it. And, you know, Doctor Strange takes them to where their dad is, which is somewhere in Norway, I think. So Odin is looking off of a cliff at the horizon, and you can tell that this is like Disney 101. Somebody's parent or loved one is getting ready to die, and that's exactly what happens. And Odin talks about his time being up and decides to lay a bomb on them, that, you know, he had a whole of the family before either one of them got there, and then they have a sister or whatever. Her name is Hela, and she is going to be the demise of Asgard. So as soon as Odin disappears and wafts off into the sky, like what was it, that one scene in The Lion King where Simba falls down and then all the tufts of flowers and dust and all that, that's what that looked like. So that happens, and as soon as he dies, Hela emerges because this life force was basically keeping her away. So she saunters out and is just like, hi, I'm a bad bitch right off top. And I was really, really here for Cate Blanchett as Hela. She was really good. So they fight, or it wasn't even a fight because it didn't last that long. Thor throws his hammer and it gets smashed like a piece of glass, and he shook, Loki shook, I'm shook, everybody shook. And of course Loki screams, like, you know, beam us back up, like, you know, he's talking to Scotty, and of course, dumb move, because she's going to come back with them through the Bifrost. And of course she does. And they're fighting in the Bifrost as they are traveling. So it was really cool, because I don't know if we really got a visual of how it looked in the Bifrost prior to this. It's been a lot of movies, y'all. I don't remember. But we get an inside view of it while they're fighting, and it was pretty cool. So it's like literal, it's like a, I don't know how to explain it. Like, it's a really, really jazzy elevator. So she pretty much tosses them both out, and Thor wakes up on a trash planet. I don't remember the name of this planet, but he ends up there, and this place has it's like a bunch of portals opening. It seems like all of space's trash is ending up on this planet. So Thor wakes up there, and some scavengers come, and they're gonna, I guess, eat them because they gang up on them. And in comes my girl Valkyrie, and her entrance was everything, because she is drunk. She falls off the side of her ship after telling them that she is going to take what they have, which is Thor, back with her, and she falls over. So she gets up, and then they're going to take her to as food. And you know, this made me really wish that Black women were in the Pacific Rim universe, because I don't think they exist. I don't even know how John Boyega got there, because clearly his mama in that movie was Black, because he's Black and his dad is Black. I don't know. I don't know how that works. I think all the women personally all the Black women have been sent to where the kaiju are, and we're sending them to destroy the Earth, because we just said, fuck y'all and fuck everything. But I just got on a tangent. But anyway, the reason why I brought that up is because she has on these mitts, and she like taps them together, and then you realize why. Because I'm thinking like, oh, she's using this to like punch them. No. This is to her ship. So her ship has guns, and she's able to like use them like somebody would in one of those robots for Pacific Rim. And she like shoots everyone down, and there's still one person alive, and he comes up on her, and then you remember, oh right, Valkyrie can't hold her own, guns or not. So she just pretty much tosses him like he's nothing. And Thor, being thick bone-headed white guy Thor, is like, okay, well thanks, and he thinks he's on his way. But she's like, no, you're still coming with me. So she zaps him, and he's out for the count, and she takes him to the Grand Master. We finally get to see Jeff Goldblum, who is just, I guess Jeff Goldblum really should have been a main villain of some capacity in this film, or in any film really, because he really has that down. So, especially a Disney villain, he's got that down. So Thor is on his way to see the Grand Master set up like a Disney ride at Epcot. So I'm assuming maybe that ended up in the trash and they got it and they reassembled it. So he meets the Grand Master, who is just sassy as all get out. Like, Jeff Goldblum's facial expressions, and not even the things that he said, but just the way he looked, took me down so many times. And he was just really fucking sassy. So So Thor finds out, who the Grandmaster is, and he's trying to explain who he is, but no one's trying to hear it. Don't nobody care, because the Grandmaster don't give no fucks. And all he sees is a competitor to fight against his main competitor, which we later find out is Thor. So Valkyrie gets her coins, and she, you know, walks off. And I was like, okay, girl, I'm here for it. So just humor continues. The humor in this movie was definitely a 10-10. The jokes were actually funny and they landed. I don't think there was ever a time that a joke was said and I was like, ugh, that was not funny. So that was refreshing, because there's been a few times in these Marvel movies where a joke was supposed to hit and it missed its damn mark. But that did not happen, and I've attributed that to the director. So we get a Korg, who is played by the director Wow, whose name I just got done practicing and it's just left my name on my mind. So I'm not going to butcher it, but y'all seen this fine ass. So he actually plays Korg, who is this rock dude who is a contender as well. So the scenes with the interactions between Thor and Korg were really funny because Korg sounded really laid back and like he probably smoked a lot of weed, but was still very conscious. So they have their interactions and he's just pretty much trying to explain to him like how things work and you're not getting off this planet and that Doug, who was very dead, was the last person to fight the Grandmaster's champion and now he is no longer with them. So just before the fight begins, Thor gets that haircut because all up until this time, Thor has had his long hair. He finally gets his haircut and guess who gives it to him? Stanley. He is the barber and that seems actually pretty cute and funny. And I think that might be my favorite Stan Lee appearance. Or I could just be saying that because it's the most recent one. It's the one that I remember because y'all, it's been a lot of damn appearances almost in all of these movies. So, I mean, it's much better than his appearance in, what was that, X-Men 3, where he's supposed to be getting the hose goes up like he, like his dick is getting hard and that was disgusting. So yeah, that by far way better than that cameo. So we find out who the champion is, like I said, and it's Thor. And Thor, I mean, it's the Hulk. So the Thor and the Hulk fight, and it's a pretty good fight. They really are going toe-to-toe, and it's realistic because that's Thor does match the Hulk's abilities and, you know, as far as fighting, both of them being able to hold their own, definitely the Hulk. And Thor gets knocked the fuck out. And this happens twice. And I didn't like it, but he like sees his dad and there's just like this shot by shot by shot that gets closer and closer and closer. And then all of a sudden the God of Thunder awakens and he has access to, you know, the God of Thunder. So, I mean, being the God of Thunder. So that happens and he's getting ready to possibly beat the Hulk, but the Grandmaster isn't having it and he shocks him or presses the button that knocks Thor down. And then, of course, the Hulk wins. Thor then wakes up and is getting his wounds treated. And we are treated to finally the Hulk in a hot tub, and he comes out and you get that green ass, you get that jolly green but it's there. So that did happen and it was a thing, and yeah, it was a bit much. so yikes. So that happens and you know, you find out how the Hulk ended up there and what happened after he left or flew away before they fought that fight in Sokovia, which is no longer there. And that, yeah, you just get your little catch up and then you get Thor and the Hulk trying to have a moment, I guess, of feelings. You know, it happened. I don't know if it was just supposed to be comedy. I'm pretty sure that it probably was, but it was just, it's like, all right, could have went without this, but all right. And I mean, it was fine. It was cool. It was cute. But it's just like, y'all really don't know how to talk about feelings in these movies. Like, at the fuck all. But all right. We get the Valkyrie, Tessa Thompson's character comes in again and we get her, and Thor is really adamant at trying to explain to her what is going on and why he needs to get home, especially after he learned that she was a Valkyrie and the only Valkyrie that was left because they were all killed by Hela, which we learn later when Loki actually makes Valkyrie remember what happened. And I wonder if that's the scene that Tessa Thompson was alluding to. That part wasn't, of course, cut out, but the follow-up to that was probably cut out because it seems like her lover or a woman that she possibly cared for greatly takes a spear for her, and that's how she ends up surviving, and she ends up where she is, and she develops this drinking problem because she's trying to live in a haze. I took it as she's a soldier with PTSD, and this is the way that she is coping. So believe it or not, Tessa Thompson's Valkyrie is actually pretty well written in this movie. She has her own agency and no ties to, you know, any male characters. It is really just her. And in the MCU, as far as women characters are concerned, she might be the best written one. And I mean, that's with Natasha included too, because I'm gonna be real with y'all. I never really saw it for the Black Widow. I mean, she was cool, nothing against her, but I just didn't go up for her like everybody else did. I mean, them not having that movie is, trust me, I'm losing no sleep over it. So, and this is prior to Scarlett Johansson doing The Ghost in the Shell. I was just like, all right. And that's probably because of the lack of writing. And I just felt like if they couldn't write her all that well in these movies, then who the hell is going to be writing her solo film? Because it's probably going to be a man, and a Joss Whedon being that person. But again, I've gone on another tangent. So the Valkyrie is there, and she just does not want to help Thor. But Thor pretty much scams her and gets the device from her that she's been using on him. And he escapes. He sees the Quinjet, or the Thor, Hulk had told him where the Quinjet was, and he tries to escape, and he's unable to because Hulk didn't want him to leave, and Hulk pretty much destroyed the ship. And basically, Bruce has been stuck as the Hulk for the past 2 years since he left Sokovia, and what brings him out of that Hulk form is actually a video of Natasha telling him to come back, or whatever video she left him right before they fought in Sokovia. So that brings him back. See, she was fucking used just to have him turn back into Bruce Banner. So anyway, Bruce comes back. Thor gives him Tony's clothes to put on because he's naked, and Tony's clothes was cute. Tony is jazzy. He's a jazzy dresser. So let's see, because you know I had to write little notes because I don't remember anything well. So some other things happen. Basically, this them trying to figure out how they're going to get off the planet, or Thor trying to convince Valkyrie that she needs to join, and Bruce that he needs to come with him back to Asgard, and of course Loki being Loki. So they figure it out, and Loki tries to trick Thor, as he always does. And I feel like maybe this writing wise was a poke at all of the other movies, but it's just like, you know, you're just so predictable. He's talking to Loki as he has him laid out on the ground because he puts that electro thing on him, and now he's being electrocuted. And you know, he could be so much more. Like, these movies could be so much more sometimes. So they end up taking the Grandmaster's ship, which is his orgy ship, which I thought was kind of funny and fit the Grandmaster, because I'm telling y'all, he was sassy as fuck. So, I forgot to mention, there were two other Black women in this movie that I kept seeing. They both had afros, and like, they just look super Afrofuturistic, and they were pretty. I want to know like who they are and what they were up to. So that day, I saw them like several times. So anyway, Thor, Valkyrie, Bruce are all trying to escape, and we finally get to see Valkyrie like really, really doing her thing, and she takes out the ship so that they can get away. And of course Thor helps her, but he really could have stayed his ass in the ship. Like, she had it. And you get to see, you know, how Valkyrie moves, how strong she is, how good at combat she is. And they are able to, get away and escape through, the anus, which is called, which Heimdall calls it, because I've got to say that Heimdall has been acting as the damn gatherer, trying to save the folks of Asgard from Hela, because she is on Asgard doing the absolute damn most. And actually with the help of the executioner, who is Carl Urban's character, is able to bring back her, I don't even know necessarily was her army, was army that her and her dad were using, and her big giant ass wolf that reminded me of one of those wolves from what show is that? Game of Thrones. So yeah, she brings all that back. And I forgot to mention that she laid waste to pretty much the Asgard army, and the one Asian character that was there, that looked like he was the general, of course, unfortunately, is killed within a minute or two of being introduced to us. So to that. But that happened. So they're trying to get back, and Heimdall is trying, took the sword, so the Bifrost is not working. So she's basically trying to get that sword back so she could have access to the Nine Realms. So that's how we see Heimdall in that capacity. And I was here for it. Like, he had more to do than he's had to do in all of the other two Thor movies. So I was definitely here for that. So they get back, and basically the third act begins. And I think that this third act was pretty fine compared to, you know, how the third acts usually go, and not just Marvel movies, but in just superhero movies in general. And, you know, now that I'm thinking about it, this movie still managed to follow the same tired formula as all the superhero movies do, even though we already know who the hell Thor is. You know, he's still somebody who basically ends up discovering his powers. Because he does, because, and when he has this fight with Hela, when he's trying to distract her so that the people of Asgard can escape on the ship that Loki and Korg and all the other the fighters or whatever took from the Grand Master, they end up at Asgard. They're trying to get them on the ship. Like, you know, he's getting his ass whooped, and right as Hela's getting ready to give him the final blow, he does that thing again where he did earlier, where it's the three shots of closer of him and his dad, and they have a conversation. His dad, like, yeah, well, the hammer was just used to help you control your powers, but you're so much stronger than that. You're stronger than me. And I'm just like, where have I heard this before? And then he becomes for real, the God of Thunder, because he can use it, thunder, lightning, all that. And he deals her a blow, and then he comes down to help the folks get onto the ship to fight the rest of the army, and so on. So, and again, like, I almost forgot, like, Valkyrie's still doing things and still very active and holding her own. So again, Tessa Thompson was truly everything in this movie. And I mean, I don't know what else to tell, because, you know, how I hate to say this, and I hope this isn't, you know, change how you feel about seeing this movie. I mean, like, when you saw this movie, but like, this third act was like all the other third acts. And this movie, even as funny as it was and stuff, it was still like the same formula as most of the Marvel movies have been. So clearly everyone gets away and they figure out how to defeat Hela. And basically, you have Carl Urban, his executioner character, ends up redeeming himself, because as the ship is trying to get away, Hela, like, some type of spear comes out of the water and stops the ship. And then he uses those two guns, Troy and Dez, to fight off the rest of the army guys and also shoot off the spear that she has kind of pierced in the ship, preventing it to leave. And then he jumps off, which was a really cool shot, and, you know, is getting her attention, and of course he dies. But it allows Thor to do what he needs to, and also Valkyrie as well. And then it dawns on him, because all of a sudden, because Thor is, oh yeah, Thor's eye is gone because Hela knocked it out. So, oh, could it get any more well written? I mean, could it be any more predictable? So it hits him, like, yeah, so that the crown or whatever it was that he took, Sotor, actually, that is Ragnarok is supposed to happen because it's the only way that it can defeat Hela, because I forgot to mention that we learned that she draws her power from Asgard, but the old wise Odin was telling Thor, and he recalled back that Asgard is not a place, it is a people. So now that all the people are on the ship, they can quote unquote destroy Asgard, the place. So Loki goes and takes that helmet or whatever the fuck it is and puts it on the everlasting eternal light of fire, whatever they call it, and brings that guy to life, that monster to life, Sator, and he grows to the size of a planet and starts, you know, fucking shit up. And the Hulk, being the Hulk, tries to take him out. And I was like, oh, wait, is the Hulk getting ready to kill him? But no. Hulk can't do anything. Hulk gets, the Hulk gets swung away. And basically, they escape. And I thought Loki got left and killed. But no, Loki shows up at the end. But you get to see the final battle between Hela and Sator. And I guess they, I mean, yeah, she's destroyed because he ends up destroying Asgard as they fly away, and that's Thor Ragnarok. So as I was like going through this movie, I hope it didn't sound like I didn't love it as much as I did, because I really did enjoy it. Like, it was a really fun time and very, very needed, especially with everything that's been going on. So it is definitely my favorite Thor movie out of all. The fact the other two don't even exist, I don't know what those are, I don't know them. This is my favorite Thor movie. And as far as my favorite movie on the entire Marvel, you know, movie catalog, I guess it's up there. This one I can probably watch again. Guardians of the Galaxy, that first one, I watched more than once. I think I might watch that twice, maybe three times. This one I'll probably watch another time. That's kind of how I rate my Marvel movies, is how many times can I watch them. Winter Soldier, I've watched that a few times. Captain America Civil War, no. So Thor is up there. Thor Ragnarok is up there on that list, because I can definitely see myself watching that one again, because it was a comedy, and it was funny, and it was different, I mean, in that regard. So Thor Ragnarok, y'all. I want more Tessa, I want more Valkyrie. I know that there's a slim chance that we'll get her and Simone Mystic together, because if you weren't aware, there's a comic that featured the Valkyrie and also Misty Knight. I believe it was called The Defenders or Defenders. I know I've talked about this on Misty Knight's Underformed Afro. Y'all know what I'm talking about. I hope you do, because I don't remember at the moment, but they definitely had a short series together. It was like a all women team. So it was just more than just them, but I don't think I finished it, because Misty's straight ass bang and afro was annoying the ever loving fuck out of me. So I never finished that comic, but the first volume was good. So you get a chance, I do recommend you check it out. And yeah, so again, Thor Ragnarok, if you want a good time, you like using your facial, you know, you like your face getting a little exercise from laughing and smiling, then yes, go see this movie. It was really good. And Marvel probably needs to hand more movies over to people of color to direct, because this felt a little refreshing, even though it still followed the same formula as far as the Marvel movies have been concerned. You know, the humor did help out a ton. So guys, this has been episode of The Lemonade. I hope you guys have enjoyed me talk about the Ragnarok, and I hope that you enjoyed the movie. If you've seen it, if you didn't, just let me know. And until next time, I'll catch you all later.